David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. Today, I'm very excited because we have a very special podcast host and guest. He has his own podcast on our channel, so I want you to visit him, and his name is Scott Adams, and he is the founder, and he runs the Adams Consulting Firm, and he's here today to talk about healthcare technology and the common mistakes that we make with AI. So he's going to go a little bit more into depth. He's going to explain what that really means, because today, you know, we are very active in technology, and we have been using AI for many different things. But there are some mistakes you can make that can be very harmful to your business. And there are things you could do that could actually be very good. So he's going to talk a little bit more in depth about that. And like I mentioned, he has his own podcast on our series. He's on The Advisor as well. So check him out. His episodes are amazing. He has such great input. And Scott, like always, it's such a pleasure to see you today. And I'm really excited to hear about this because, you know, there is a lot going on with healthcare technology, and there is a lot of things going on with AI, and the two go together. But, you know, AI technology is being used now for everything. But there can be, you know, people sometimes don't know, use it correctly, and it can be harmful if it's not used correctly. So, you know, tell everybody before we begin, just, you know, briefly about yourself if they haven't heard your previous episodes. And let's get into this because I'm really excited to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Stacey. You're a great host, and I appreciate always having a discussion with you. I know health and wellness is very dear to your heart as well as mine. You know, I come from over 20 years experience in the healthcare sector from a strategic side and operational side. I've worked at Mayo Clinic and have launched divisions for them, such as sports medicine and even a virtual hospital. And ironic enough, we're talking in the tech space today. But and I've consulted on products and health performance and human performance initiatives with companies such as Google and Intel and Adidas, in addition to having a career in pro sports for a little bit too. So what I do today is I bring all that knowledge and expertise together, and my love and innovation in kind of the healthcare, wellness, and sports technology space, bring it to life. You know, I like, there are so many great ideas out there, and I just work as both a fractional COO and a strategic advisor for companies in this space that are looking to really take their vision and create value out of it and make it a business and make it real, because that's hard to do. And again, both you and I love seeing the benefits of these type of things to really help the population to lead better quality lives and have a, you know, a higher standard of living for a longer period of time. And again, we all know, like you just mentioned, AI is everywhere, right? The Apple phone, Instagram, like you name it, AI is. You can't go anywhere without AI, right? It's like, you know, it's just a standard these days, and it's become so part of our lives and becomes more and more part of our lives. But one interesting thing in the AI healthcare space, and I didn't realize this number was as big as it was until recently, but that AI healthcare market itself is projected to reach $188 billion by 2030.
Wow.
Now, that's huge for something that most people didn't hear of even 2 years ago. To think that large of a market exists in this space is pretty exceptional.
That's insane. That is insane.
Yeah, it truly is.
Yeah. It tells you how popular it is and how much it's being used and how It seems like how they have a lot of things in store, because it gets, as time goes on, you see more and more things that they're doing with it. Like just like even with the Apple phones, now they're personalizing AI. So now they're making it not just, typing in and getting certain answers, but they're personalizing it. They're looking at your data in your phone and they're actually coming out. They're looking at your whole database of where you browse and so forth. And they can personalize answers to according to, figure out your personality and the questions you're going to ask, and they'll have the right answers for you. So it's pretty crazy how, the directions it's taken us.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The information and data is everywhere now. Like you said, everything that you touch or even sometimes don't touch and it listens to you, right?
Yeah.
It knows things about you. And I've worked with, Google and Intel on concepts like this, even before the Internet of Things was a topic or a subject, right? Because they knew they had a lot of data and they had acquired some wearable devices then. But the same problem exists today. The data's there, but how do we really make it actionable? And how do we translate that to each person, right? My background in medical and healthcare, and I know your experience in it, we can speak to these things at a different technical level. But how do I deliver that same information to my parents, right?
Right.
Or friends of mine that aren't in that space, right? These are things that.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
AI and companies are working to solve a little bit better today than we did before. But we are seeing it integrated in a lot of current topics in healthcare today. And we're touching on the first one already, right? That AI-powered diagnostics, right? There's ways in which companies are working today to do things like early image detection for cancer. There's AI models that are being built and delivered that can really tell you there's a problem before you even see a problem because, like the human eye can only see so much color and so much space and so many pixels, whereas a digital analyzer, once trained properly, can look way beyond that. So there's things like cancerous tumors that even a very skilled technician today can't see, not because they're missing it, not because they're not educated, but just our human eye can't see it, right?
Right.
Whereas these digital models can help us to really see those things that we can't and bring it to a different light. So that's one of the things that we see today is just kind of that help. And my mantra with AI, and I'm heavily involved with it today, is AI is not here to replace people, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about this before. People are the center of everything we do. People are empathetic, have experience that AI doesn't. Now, of course, they're building AI models to show empathy, and I've worked with a few companies that are doing that. But those are things they're just not capable of right now. So we really need to continue to make sure that humans are at the center of the experience, no matter what we do, right?
Right.
Another one you talked about is personalized medicine, right? How do we take those things that you know and love, and how do we adapt that to being things that'll help benefit you, right? If you love a certain sport or a certain activity, say you like hiking, right? Me giving you a suggestion to improve your fitness by going and taking karate probably doesn't make sense, right? But hey, if you like hiking, what are ways that you can expand your hiking to get better?
Yeah.
And these are things that you see too that come across in whether it's some sort of activity recommendation from food intake and meal prepping, right? Being able and simple AI today for those of us that use it can jump on Chat GPT and say, "Hey, I have these five ingredients in my house. I'd like a healthy meal." Suggest how to do it, and it'll tell you what measurements you need, how to cook it, and come up with a meal. So there's all those great things in the marketplace today that we're only just starting to figure out.
Yes.
Again, I know you see it as well, right? Working in kind of the wellness space and your interaction with companies is seeing that personalized approach.
Right. It's, and it's I like what you said earlier too, that it's now trying to figure out ways where we can explain it in a more simplex way, where, people like our parents or, people who aren't, as savvy when it comes to technology can understand. Many people, as silly as it may sound, they think because, oh, I'm not on the internet because I don't want anyone to know my information, but your information's already in the database, whether you sign on to a program or not. Your information is in that database. So, you don't have to sign up for an account. It's going to be in there no matter what, and some people don't grasp that concept, but it's learning and trying to understand. And a lot of people, if we break it down to a simpler level, I think we'll understand, what AI is and how it could actually be used, because I don't think people realize, how it can play such a vital role in the healthcare industry. Like you mentioned, it could see, certain types of, possible detections of cancer before it even becomes an issue, where we can actually do, preventive medicine, where we can, like functional medicine doctors like to look at things before, they're looking, to see if things are, a little bit off track. We're now in the medical field. They'll be able to do that as well, and they'll also have their mind open to a broader way of thinking, because when they were taught in school, they were just taught to focus on the issue right then and there, and they didn't really look at it until it became a problem. Then they look for a solution to fix the problem. But if we could actually, open that square and make it even broader, and now start to look how we can prevent it before it actually comes, the lifespan and the improvement in people's health could be, greatly, it can go to a higher and greater level.
Yeah, and we will dive into that kind of proactive versus reactive here in a little bit. There's a few things you mentioned too that I also wanted to make sure I touched upon. When you talked about parents, right? And even us, let's face it, right? There's a lot of medication that's needed or not needed, right? You can take whatever, different stances on that, right? But we know that AI and the machine learning today is also helping us come up with one more effective treatments, right? Like you just said, right, the personalized puzzle, right, between your DNA, what other conditions you have, what food intake you have, right? We can start to create more targeted medication and better treatments that will hopefully reduce your dependency or need for multiple medications in the future. And it's also helping to accelerate that process of discovering new medication, which because you can now do simulated trials before you even start animal testing and human testing for these products. So you can get a lot of those. And parents is one thing you talked about. And again, I have aging parents. Fr I have friends that have aging parents, right? And one we talked about already, they don't always understand the information from the medical side. So improving that patient provider interaction or even understanding, right? How many times have yourself or others out there listening, something's wrong, you turn to Dr. Google, right? And Dr. Google's a lot of information, but Dr. Google also gives you the worst case scenario, right? Any don't write headache in Dr. Google. It's going to tell you a thousand things that are not going you don't want to read, right? Whereas again, we know that those scenarios that Dr. Google tells you are probably some of the least likely scenarios of happening, right? So I've been working with a company that's helping provide a more intelligent version where you can type in your symptoms and kind of get, hey, this is most likely what you have. And you're not going down those rabbit holes. So if you can think of providing a parent with that information, or even if your children have symptoms and you're worried, having some sort of resource that's more intelligent and can kind of decipher the data better than we can today, and the solutions that we have today with Dr. Google, is one of them. Another is remote patient monitoring. There are groups out there, that have different wearable devices or sensors that can help kind of give you that peace of mind, right? Our parents are aging. Maybe they're not in longer term care facilities because we all want our independence, right? We still want to be at home. And As children of these parents, you fight that dilemma, right? Do they need that additional monitoring? Do they need that support? Do I need to put them in a home? Do I not? So there are solutions out there, and more are coming to the market where you can have technology in the home that can detect if, hey, that person in the home had a fall, or hey, they didn't sleep well the last couple nights, right? There's technologies like that that can, one, help the providers and caregivers to have more information, because again, we do forget things. And I know when I ask my parents questions about their health, I don't get the right answer. They don't give me the straight answer. Oh, I feel good. Everything's okay, right? But some of this technology can unearth things that maybe you don't. So that gives the care provider coming in home more information, but it also can give us a level of peace of mind, right? Where, hey, I know this technology is monitoring, so I know what their vital signs are. There's even a group I chatted with a few hours ago, right? They have sensors that, oh yeah, hey, my parent opened the fridge 3 times today, so odds are they ate, or they opened that medicine cabinet, so odds are they took their medicine, right? So a lot of these things are coming to market, which is, again, just great tools to have. And that extends into other avenues, right? From a mental health standpoint, right? These are tools that we can use that we don't really have great access to today that can help make things better. And then you always see in the healthcare industry, right? We know providers and staff are, they're burnt out, right? They're spread thin. So there's a lot of administrative efficiencies that you have coming through AI today, and a lot of companies working in that space. So it's a pretty, broad scope of what's being worked on, and it's a lot. All these things can really help us really create better place and give our medical providers a better opportunity to provide better care and a better experience for us too.
And I think, like you mentioned earlier, like one of the biggest things, the things that I see that really annoys the heck out of me is that people try to be their own Google doctor, and they think that they're getting accurate information, and they're trying to diagnose themselves and trying to treat their own selves. And it's like one of the worst things you could do. And I will say to people when they're trying to, become their own Google doctor, I'm like, where did you get that information from? I'm like, where were their resources from? Because you could have a headache, and how many illnesses, could lead to a headache, or stress itself could lead to a headache, So, it's like people, and people will get stressed over it. They'll think they're dying. They'll read these things, and they're just like all stressed out. But a lot of this stuff too, is not accurate. And when they look on, and Google has been cracking down on that. They've been, trying to get very strict with, the information on the internet. But there is information. You have to be very cautious where you get that information, if it really is accurate, because a lot of times it could be, people just trying to sell things, and they'll say whatever they have to in order to try to sell the product.
There's definitely a lot of misinformation. And again, there's so much information on the internet. You can find both sides of the argument and proof on both sides. The one thing I would challenge people listening to is, instead of using, say, your own AI, if you access ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Apple Intelligence or whatever, instead of going down that rabbit hole of, hey, what do I have? Like, I have a headache and a few other things. And going down that, like you said, that terrible rabbit hole of, oh no, here's all the deadly things I have. I challenge you, before you have your next appointment with a physician, ask ChatGPT or whatever AI you like, ask it what questions you should ask the physician that you're going to see based on what you're going to see them. Because the one thing that, again, we always talk about kind of the medical facing things of AI and how it's helping, but there's also a way to help people. And that's from an education standpoint, like you just started to talk about, right? If I can arm myself or my parents or a friend of mine that doesn't have medical knowledge with, hey, here's 5 questions that I need to ask this physician about my condition or what I'm experiencing that they would have not thought of before. And I know you do interviews and podcasts professionally, so you're good at it. But if other people go into a room, as soon as a conversation starts happening, those questions that you thought you were going to ask that maybe you didn't write down kind of go out the window, right? So the challenge is to ask those questions to an AI beforehand, write
Right.
those down, print them off, put them in your phone, and bring them to you to remember that. I
Yeah.
think that's one of the big things we can do today to really help us out and our loved ones out with navigating those conversations.
Right. Exactly. And I had gone to my doctor and I had printed out a list of questions of things I've heard, and I wanted to see what he had to say. I'm like,
Yeah.
is this true? Blah, 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 blah. He just shook his head no.
Right.
I heard that this could be this is this. Is that true? Is it good for you? He's like, no. And
No.
then, has and will this have any effect on this? No.
Yeah.
And the articles and the things that I found, I'm like, because I was seeing him anyway, so I figure I just throw it at him. And it's just, in the articles it seemed very convincing. Oh yeah,
Oh,
this
yeah.
really great, and da da da, just regular vitamins and supplements and things that I never heard about before that could do this and this. So I just wanted to see what his input was. But the thing is that a lot of people, won't ask their doctors, or they won't, they'll just believe what they read. And
Yeah.
you have to be so careful where you're getting your information and your resources.
Yeah, and I've over 20 years in the healthcare industry. The physicians you talk with, they genuinely want to help,
Yeah.
right? That's their goal. That's why they took the oath of being a physician or a nurse or a physical therapist, right? They took an oath to help. So, great job by you, like asking them those, hey, I read this. Like, what does this mean? Because again, they're not trying to sell you something like you see on the internet. So, I love that approach that you took with them.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, because you know what? They wrote a convincing argument, and they were talking about a regular supplement and or a vitamin. And you know what? Well, I wanted to see, does this have any effect? Can this improve the X, Y, or Z?
Yeah.
And it didn't, and so the people who read that will automatically think, oh yeah, and they'll run to Amazon and they'll buy a vitamin or a supplement, they don't even know if it's a good vitamin or a supplement, and you have to be really careful where you're getting your information. Now, you talked about proactive and reactive solutions,
Yeah.
the true potential in healthcare. Can you go a little deeper in what you mean by that?
Yeah, absolutely. First, let's kind of define the two. I know generally people know what it means, but from a reactive side of things, that's kind of what we see today, right? I have these symptoms, or I'm sick, or I've been diagnosed with this. So now that A plus B equals C, I know, hey, here's a treatment we can do, right? So something bad has already happened. And now we can solve it. And that's an easy equation to solve, right? Even though, and I say this all the time, medicine is an art form, right? It's part science, huge art form, because there's not really that many cut and dry answers. But when you get into the reactive aspect of things, it is A plus B equals C, right?
Yes.
So, you break a leg, you get an X-ray, it confirms it, you put a cast on, you do your rehab, it heals, all's good, right? But from the proactive side of things, and this is where I really think AI is going to be a game changer for us,
Yeah.
is how do you solve that equation when there's not even a problem, right?
Right.
If you think about it this way, like again, it's a math problem. You know, A plus B must equal C, but what happens when you don't know A, B, or C, right?
Yeah.
How do you define that? So that's been the challenge from historically, and in the medical space today, in the health insurance space, right? Everything is reactive care. Now,
Yeah.
if you talk about naturopaths and you talk about getting out front with your fitness, right? Those are some proactive strategies. But today we're really doing proactive strategies and not being able to put that information together to really
Yeah.
alarm us for something that's going on that we don't realize. Because again, your physician doesn't realize till your blood test comes back irregular, or your X-ray or your CT scan comes back odd. But how can we take that information you have today? And it's a giant puzzle, right? There's a bunch of pieces, and you don't really know what they mean because, unfortunately, this puzzle doesn't have the picture on the box that you set up on the table, right? So you can see what you're working towards. So, how do we take those puzzle pieces and put them together when you don't know what the solution looks like? And taking that kind of that unfiltered data is something that AI can do, right? Now, obviously, we still have a ways to go to make it be that proactive, but could you imagine a world where, Stacy, based on what the system knows about your genetics, your exercise habits, what you eat, how things have changed, even from a micro level, and it says, hey, Stacy, you're at risk to de for being diabetic, right? And this is before you would even have any of the symptoms of diabetes, any blood tests, right? And get ahead of those, because then now you can get ahead of these conditions and treat them with, lifestyle changes, whether it's diet, whether it's supplementation or more movement and exercise, or even in the mental health capacity. Can you imagine if your AI healthcare guide or buddy could look at what you're viewing and writing in social media and say, hey, Stacy, I think we have a mental health problem brewing, right? Here's what I noticed, and here's some things that we can do today to make it better, right? Create that partnership. So these are the things that I really think can make a big change in our lives today that we haven't seen yet. And the greatest potential for companies coming into this space to really, I'm not going to say take advantage, but it's really to make us better quality life and a higher quality of life for longer.
Oh, definitely. And I see them doing that right now. And I think it's great because they're looking for certain thing, certain things, whether it's a blood level test or whether it's, something that they notice, or just asking AI, asking certain questions and then looking at your DNA and looking at your genetics and looking at certain things and, figuring out what are the odds that, you might, develop diabetes, if you continue to have this type of lifestyle. But then if you do this, you may avoid the chance of developing diabetes later on in your life, or even pre-diabetic, So, things like that could be very useful because a lot of times people don't pay attention till it's too late, and a lot of times just people aren't paying attention to the signs or the symptoms. And imagine if AI could pay attention for you and then it tells you ahead of time, wait a second, if you're, we see this and this, and that could be, that could be showing a sign that if you continue to do this, you could be in risk for a heart attack by the age of so and so, and that could really be a game changer for some people.
Yeah, because if you look at it today, right, even, hey, your blood sugar is increasing, you're pre-diabetic, right? But what if we can get 10 years ahead of this, right? Before you're even pre-diabetic, and even other, any other condition, right? We can start to like build these out ahead of time and make it more a part of our lifestyle versus the reactive nature we've had for so long. And the great, and again, I know everyone listening, again, health insurance is crazy expensive, medical care is crazy expensive. So the things I'm talking about here and being more proactive, could you imagine not having that medical bill for insulin or, one of the semaglutides nowadays, like, or even having that care? I mean, you're saving tens of thousands of dollars just because you made a lifestyle modification, 10 years before this was even an issue. This is actually the reality that is going to come to us in the not too distant future.
And it could be so expensive. Even medication, even if you have insurance, it still could be expensive, even with the laws, the healthcare laws and everything else. But if you're needed that you need to take brand versus generic, it could be a fortune for some people, So if you could prevent this from happening and you could prevent being on medication and even, developing the side effects of these medications, you could be, ahead of the game, and save yourself, and be able to live maybe even longer than expected, it's amazing what, the options are out there, but, you also mentioned that there are common mistakes, when it comes to AI and it comes to healthcare and so forth like that. Can you explain some of the common mistakes that you see?
And again, I work with a lot of companies bringing this kind of technology to the forefront. And like we open the show with, AI is everywhere, right? So, and again, if you're looking in the health tech space, every day there's 10 or 15 new articles on something new that's going on or a new company that's going on. But there's five things that I see that happen very frequently, and sometimes all five of these across these companies that come to the forefront. Because again, everyone has great ideas. And one of the things that I hate more than anything else is when a great idea doesn't get brought to the forefront, right? Because someone might have a life-changing, even life-saving idea for somebody. And to think that may not come to the forefront because they don't know how to bring it out. They don't know how to run a business, get the right people around them. These are the things that just drive me crazy, because if you can save one person's life with your idea, your technology, or your service, then it is worth everything else. So, mistake one that I see is failing to communicate effectively. A lot, again, AI, machine learning, these are very technical computer science spaces, right? So you have a lot of geniuses in those spaces. And again, I see this, this is probably one of the most frequent things I see, but they can't communicate their idea or how they're doing it to people like you and I. We're in the health space. So can you imagine not even be able to translate that message to an investor out there, or an accelerator group, or a patient advocacy group, right? So that idea of taking the technical jargon and being able to translate it into a story, right? How's the world a better place if I implement this? Why are things today not helping solve the problem that I am solving? And how do we do that? How is it more cost effective? How is it better outcomes? All of those things, they just really get lost in translation. So that's one of them. And again, you see this in different companies too. So this just isn't isolated, but in the technical spaces, this is something I see more frequently than anything else. And I see so many pitch decks, ideas that honestly don't even stand a chance because they can't get past this first step. Step two is hiring the wrong leadership. Again, kind of along the same theme. If you're in the tech world, you tend to surround, and again, same with parts of life, right? You like to surround yourself with like people at times. And in the tech world and building tech, I've seen health tech companies add CEOs, COOs, business leaders that are just tech centric, right? And they don't have the awareness and the knowledge on how do I navigate the healthcare market, right? How do I talk about this solution to a physician or to a hospital administrator, to a patient, right? To a nurse. So you need people in with your group that can have those discussions and kind of be that translator between your technical space and your end user. And that gets missed a lot again. And in the health industry too, you're well aware. There's regulatory hurdles, there's privacy concerns. These are things you need to be able to navigate, and just bringing the right people on board with those experience, even if they don't have a tech experience, they can provide an asset to your team, leading you through those space. So those are the first two. The third one is, like we see with a lot of things, lack of differentiation, right? AI's everywhere, so how are you different? I can Google search right now, or AI search right now, and I could find 1,000 AI healthcare companies that are working on solving the administration portion of scheduling, right? But what makes you different than the rest of them, right? Is there something you're doing that provides a unique value that the others don't? Is there a niche that you're focused on that the others don't? Is there, again, specific area of disease? These are things that you still have to come up with. Just having AI in your product is not enough anymore. It may have been as early as a year ago, but today that's not the landscape anymore. And it's the same with any product that you have. You need to differentiate yourself. And I think this space, especially, they just think AI is a differentiator, but it's not. So that's something to consider. The fourth one is choosing the wrong investors. Again, we all know companies, especially tech companies, sometimes need a lot of ramp to get their product out the door, because there's a lot of things that need to be produced before it becomes a product, right? But again, a lot of these companies that I work with, the founders are altruistic in their vision, right? I want to help people, right? Usually they have some sort of life story. We've talked about a lot of parents today, but a couple of them that I've worked with recently, they have the connection because their parents went through something and they saw them suffer or get misdiagnosed or not know the right questions to ask. So their vision is they want to help people. They don't want that same thing to happen to somebody else because them going through it was enough and they can fix that. But again, that's where choosing the wrong investors comes into play. A lot of investors, and again, they're putting their money in, so they want their money out at the end of the day. But some of them are looking to get in and get out fast. They want to, if sell your IP, sell your product and be out. They make their money back, they're good. That's their goal. They're investors, right? That's what they do. But if that's not your mission and that's not your value of what you want to do, just make sure you're asking those questions so you don't get a mismatch there. I've seen it a few times too, and again, I'm not bashing any group. Every group has their value. The pharma companies are one that get a lot of good press and a lot of terrible press, right? They do provide life-saving, life-changing medications that we've benefited from, right? A large portion of us. They do also have the negative press of being, money hounds, right? But again, it takes a lot for them to produce and get something proven and out the door effective. But again, sometimes they want to protect their business because it is their business. So I've seen founders get very excited because pharma companies want to buy their product from them or want to partner with them. But part of what they're doing is they just don't want that solution to market because, like we talked about a few things earlier, what if your product has the ability to have them not take that medication or not take it for as long? Or maybe they like one component about what you do and they can apply that to medication adherence, which is a problem as well. But if those other nine portions of what you developed are what you're really passionate about, then you're going to lose. You're going to have a mismatch here and it's not going to work out for your liking. And most of your technology and what you were trying to solve is going to go out the window. So that you need to make sure you have alignment there. The last mistake, the fifth one that I see make is chasing big ticket partnerships prematurely. I see this a lot in tools that integrate with the electronic medical records. The biggest solution in that EMR space, Epic, holds 36% of the market, which is a full-out domination, almost monopoly in size compared to all the other EMRs out there. So, there's some companies that they're just so focused on that big ticket, right? If I can get in there, I'll be all set. But the problem is, one, you may not be ready for it, right? It's an advanced solution. So if your product is not advanced to that level, it's just going to drown in there. A lot of these EMRs, especially, but some other integrated marketplaces are still competitive. You're still going against 100 other products in that space. So that becomes hard too. And again, sometimes you're blinded to where other avenues and revenue targets could be. I worked with one company doing market research for them, and they were dead focused on getting in the EMR space with Epic and the big providers because, hey, they've got the most clients, so I can make the most money. Well, in doing that work and really identifying what their product really does and what their intentions are, we found a different space in the smaller EMR markets that changed their forecast to doubling their revenue projections just because it was a better market fit for them. And sometimes these bigger opportunities cost more money to get involved with. And a lot of early stage companies don't have that money to push through, or you're putting all your eggs in one basket, which doesn't work either.
And I think they get deceived like that. But I like what you said also is that, there I've seen, I'm pretty tech savvy to a point, and I've seen that a lot of companies have come out with this software and, it was supposed to do all these things. And you go into it and you try to use it. And for a person like me, even though I am tech savvy, I'm tech savvy to a point, and then it's like, I've tried to use the software and you really need someone like yourself who is beyond the point that I'm at. And if you are just a regular individual with a business, and they don't even have a quarter of the tech savviness, it just looks like a bunch of foreign language, I've seen that with a lot of software that I've tried to use, is that they're, before it was very simple for the everyday average person to just go in and use it. Now they're coming out with all these other components, but I think they could have made it a lot simpler, but instead they made it more, for the tech savvy type person. And other people have a lot of difficulty trying to use it. And then I think they just decide not to even bother when it could be a very useful product, but the average person doesn't want to, it's too much time wasted trying to figure it out. And I've seen that more and more, and I've actually seen it with some really big companies. They've come out with all these different things now, and then you go in there and you try to use it, and it's not like it used to be. And so you don't you bother, even though we it's it's a good product, that it probably could do a lot of great things, but it became so tech savvy that you don't even use it anymore when it has, you do know that it has a lot of benefits, but it's just too much for the average individual.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right, 'cause things are super technical these days, and companies could design these elaborate dashboards and systems and data analysis, but at the end of the day, for the person wearing the device or using the program, it needs, especially in this healthcare space and wellness space, it needs to be easy, to your
Yes.
point, right? I need to be able to use it really without thinking about it. And the
Right.
other thing too that a lot of these companies are having to navigate, and my push always when I work with these companies is, how do we make this actionable, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter to me if you have 100 different features and produce 50 different reports. If the person using it at the end of it doesn't take action on what you're telling it needs to do, then it's the rest of this is worthless, right? And to your point about tech savvy, right, is that, and again, my 11-year-old daughter can use a phone like no tomorrow, and she still shows me when I get stuck with something, but she doesn't even have a phone, but somehow she can show me, right? But you think about it, in your phone these days, right, between text messaging, notifications from every app that you have, Instagram, Uber Eats, like whatever, it's TikTok, Snapchat, you can go on and on. You get thousands, hundreds of notifications a day sometimes. But then when you're thinking about this, how do I make that one notification that says, "Hey, Stacy, that was a terrible meal choice. Like, we need to move a little bit extra." Right? How do we get that on top of everything else so that, oh wow, someone made a new post on Instagram, not as important as some sort of health related or medical related notification. So those are things that a lot of companies and people don't think about. But if you really want something that's going to change someone's life and have a great outcome, you got to think about all these things. And it's a lot when your area of genius is teaching a machine learning model, how to diagnose a healthcare condition, right? So there's a lot of skill sets needed to bring these things to the forefront, because it is a complex environment and it is changing day by day sometimes.
And it seems like every day, like you mentioned before, like it seems like a new thing is coming out every single day, so you have to consistently keep up with everything. And it is funny when our kids show us how to do things, like you get stuck and it's like,
And we're at a great stage for new innovation, because our kids are growing up with technology, right? I didn't have my first phone until, I think I was like in my master's program or after my master's program, my first cell phone, right? So I know the world without it, but our kids nowadays don't. So they're used to using these tools, right? My parents aren't used to getting health notifications on their phone. They have cell phones, although I don't think if I asked them right now where their cell phone was, they would even know, right? So we're developing innovations for the elder population and those that are chronically ill and sick, and trying to get ahead of the curve on things, but it's a little misplaced, right? Because the things we're developing today really don't 100% help my parents, right? Unless I get notifications that something's wrong with them. So we're at a little bit of an awkward stage right now, where the people that are used supposed to be using these don't really have tech ingrained into their day-to-day behavior. But that's why I really feel that proactive stance for even younger than us, My daughter, right? She could be notified that her habits need to change or else this might happen. And that's where we benefit, right? We're going to have a healthier world coming on in the future because information's a lot more available and we can take actions easier today than in other places. And it also helps, we didn't talk about it, but another passion with groups that I try to work with is providing that equality in healthcare, right? And we know that healthcare is not available equally everywhere, but we know a lot of people, even in those lower economic environments, still have access to a cell phone, right? Or some of them even have Apple Watches, right? So there's still technology in those environments that we can leverage. Again, I'm not saying this is equal healthcare, but it gives us an opportunity to start providing solutions that are accessible for populations that maybe don't normally get access to it.
And I've even noticed a lot too, because we have a lot of Hispanics in our community in the United States, that they've been doing a lot of similar apps, but then they've been changing one app to an all Spanish app. So, just because they know that there's so many Spanish people in the United States, that they've actually made duplicate apps, even though they can translate and some of the features you could just translate, they've actually made separate apps just for them, because they have, they know that so many people will get, a positive usage out of it as well.
Yeah, and that's a tool that's a great point. It's a tool we can all use today, right? I'm out here in Phoenix. There's a large Hispanic population here too. And your AI that you can access today can also translate on the fly, right? So you can have those conversations. And I know language barriers are tough too. So if you have a question in Spanish, you can have the AI translate it to you, or vice versa, English to Spanish, so that you're not struggling with processing the two different languages and figuring out how to say it exactly in the other language. I'm from Canada originally. I speak some French. It's terrible now because I haven't practiced it, but that's an example where I can leverage it, right? I don't know how to say fractured humerus in French, but the AI can translate it for me. So that's another way of bridging those gaps too. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, no, I think it's great that they're doing that now. And I see it all over the place now. And I think it's great. Like, I had a discussion with my cousin who is Greek, and we were able to go back and forth because of the AI, just translated back and forth to Greek and English, Greek and English. So we were able to have a conversation, on the internet, because of that, because of AI. So, it's a great tool definitely to have. And it was funny when you were talking about our parents, because I kept thinking about my father, who just 3 years ago, he's 81. 3 years ago, I think, is when he switched from a flip phone, and he's still complaining. He still complains about all those little apps on the, don't put any more. He don't want any more,
Oh my goodness, there's a part of me that wants to go back to that time.
I think that's great. Now, if we had to like talk about like, some of the things you want to emphasize from this conversation, what are some important factors that you'd like to really emphasize to the listeners today?
Yeah, I think of, again, the world's changing so fast, right? And AI is in that space where it's like it has had this huge popularity hit, and then now it's starting to get tempered back a little bit. But it's going to be here to stay. So for those out there, I would say, one, if you're just a general consumer of things, start to get more familiar with it. We're talking about the healthcare space today, so use it, right? Like we talked about, if you're going into an appointment, ask it, give me five questions to ask the physician, right? Use it in those capacities so you're getting more familiar with it, but it gives you that knowledge of going in. So that's like today's practical application of how do I use that today to improve my experience. For the companies out there, again, just having AI is not enough. So you really have to differentiate, and you have to differentiate your product. But you also have to differentiate your team, right? You need to have experts in those spaces that you're trying to go into on top of the technical expertise. So those are the two things that I would leave with both the individual and with organizations is just that. It's a complex, ever-changing world, and make sure you have experts and information to help you navigate it.
Definitely. I think those are real great pointers. And also, can you tell everybody about the services that you provide?
Yeah, so I work in this space with companies looking to bring their technology to the forefront. I provide services such as fractional COO for so Chief Operating Officer, or strategic advisory service to help them navigate these landscapes, build strategic partnerships, and really bring those ideas to fruition. I say it, with Adams Consulting Firm, we like to turn vision into value, right? And for the love of everyone out there, please don't let your great idea get kind of tampered down and thrown into the back corner because of these things we talked about today. I would love to help you. Others would love to help you, but let's get these wonderful ideas to the forefront and let's get them out there so all of us can live a better quality life.
100%. Now, where can any people find you?
Yeah, I have a common last name, so it's kind of hard just to like look up my last name. But if you, I'm Adams Consulting Firm, so adamsconsultingfirm.com. My website's there. You can book a free consultation, reach out to me directly through there, or even Adams Consulting Firm on LinkedIn. You could then get access to mine because Scott Adams will give you too many results. So those are the two ways to reach me the best. And again, I'd love to chat.
That's great. Thank you so much, for coming on the show today, Scott. I love when you come on because you give such great advice. And I think today's conversation was great because, in healthcare, sometimes we don't realize, the benefits of AI. AI gets its, you hear people say good things and bad things about it, but when you look at it from the perspective that you were talking about it today, it really, it could do a lot of amazing things to help us in the future and really improve the health of people, worldwide. So there's a lot to be, a lot of good in it as well. And I think over the next couple of years, especially, I think, things will start to be understood better and it'll start to be used better. And right now I think it's just in its, exploding stage and people are, a little bit, crazy and, they're not using it really to the way it should be in some areas, not all areas, but I think people are going to understand the potential that it has and it's going to be used in a lot of ways that it never has been. And it's starting to already. So, I think in the next couple of years, we're going to see a lot of great changes in the healthcare system, and we're going to see a lot of improvements in people's health as well. So I definitely thank you so much for bringing all this to our attention. And thank you so much for just being you and providing all this great information.
Yeah, no, thank you, Stacey. I loved our conversation today, just like our others. And I agree. What we know today as healthcare and empowering ourselves to take care of our healthcare is going to be like the flip phone to your dad, right?
Yeah.
We're going to look back at this day, and this was the flip phone of empowering our own healthcare decisions and information. So, again, I look forward to that future. And thank you for having me here again. It's always a great chat, and just love both of us trying to make the world a better place.
Yes, definitely. And you are. You definitely are. And thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Likewise. Have a great day.
You too.